just hymns of welcome sing in strains of holy joy. The everlasting Son incarnate deigns to be, himself a servant's form puts on to set his servants free. O Zion's daughter, rise to meet your lowly king, nor let your faithless heart despise the peace he comes to bring. As judge on clouds of light, he soon will come again, and his true members all unite with him in heaven to reign. Before the dawning day, let sin's dark deeds be gone, the sinful self be put away, to set us free. With the Father, Spirit ever one, through all eternity.
We follow the order of service, the order of matins on page 219, and is printed in the bulletin. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth. Desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring, by thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
To you, O Lord,
I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust.
Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame.
They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love.
For they have been from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions.
According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord.
Therefore he instructs sinners in the way.
He leads the humble in what is right.
And teaches the humble his way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness.
For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Jeremiah chapter 33. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 25. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where
the congregation may be seated.
The King shall come when morning dawns and light triumphant breaks, when beauty gilds the eastern hills and life to joy awakes. Not as of to bear and fight and die, but crowned with glory like the sun that lights the morning sky. Oh, brighter than the rising morn, when Christ victorious rose and left the lonesome place of death, despite the rage of foes. Oh, brighter than that glorious morn shall dawn upon our race, the day when Christ in splendor comes, and we shall see his face. The King shall come when morning dawns and light and beauty brings. Hail Christ the Lord, your people pray. Come quickly, King of Kings.
The sermon this morning is based on that gospel reading from Luke chapter 21. I'll refer to a number of the verses there, but to start, I'll read two of them. Verse 28, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And also verse 33, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The little half page with sermon notes is on that blue insert if you'd like to follow along. Luke presents this teaching of Jesus in a very organized way. And it's helpful for us to hear from Luke what is immediately before these verses we just read, verses 5 through 24 of Luke 21. Now the context is Jesus is in the temple and he's teaching during Holy Week. This is the week that Jesus would be betrayed and die on the cross and rise on that Sunday. But before that all happened, he was teaching in the temple. And one of the things that we have him teaching, and it's recorded in all four Gospels, various aspects of his teaching, is his teaching of the end times, when he will come again, when there's judgment. But he gives two different periods of judgment. And Luke is very clear what he is talking about each time. Luke first records that Jesus taught about the judgment on Jerusalem. And it's really for these disciples, his current disciples, and that very first generation of Christians. Because he prepares those disciples and those very first ones about the destruction of Jerusalem. And he didn't want them to be surprised about the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus is teaching about 33 AD. And the destruction of Jerusalem was 70 AD. So just 35 years or so, this would happen. And all of this magnificent temple that he was teaching in, and so many people would come to the Passover and the other festivals. All this that the disciples, right then and there, that they were looking at it, and he was teaching there in 35 years or 37 years, thereabouts, it would be gone. Destroyed. And he was preparing them to know that Jerusalem would be destroyed and this was God's judgment. And then Jesus also teaches for future times in the verses that we read today. First, the destruction of Jerusalem and what he said about that. And then Luke records what Jesus said for a future time. Those words for today. And we can really look at this because the end time has not come yet, and every generation of Christians has been hearing these words from Luke and the other Gospels and saying, is it near? Is it come yet? Is it here yet? It's good for us to hear these words of his second coming. And I just have a few points there, pulled out a few points. There's more there, more points there as well. But this time that Jesus talks about, he says it will be time of great distress. It will be time of great distress. And very specifically, he says there's going to be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And he talks about the oceans there. He talks about the waves and the water. There's going to be signs there. And he talks about that people, the whole world, will have like a fainting with fear. And in our ESV translation, it says a foreboding. And that's a good translation, but there's also the idea there's this expectations. The whole world is looking at all these things going on in the sun and the moon and the stars and in the oceans, these different signs that are happening. And there's going to be expectations, a foreboding, expectations of what is going to come. Jesus says, after these, then he will come with in a cloud, with power and great glory. Just a pause there on what he says. He is going to come with power and great glory. That is different in his second coming than his first coming. In his first coming as a baby, from the Virgin Mary, by the miraculous conception that she had by the power of the Holy Spirit to bear Jesus. That was quiet and lowly. And we know who had the great announcement. It was the shepherds, right? And it wasn't everybody, but certain people had certain messages from the angels. And the wise men had certain clues from the star and probably from the scriptures. So it wasn't the whole world would know about Jesus, but it was quiet and lowly. And then as he grew up and had his ministry, he chose disciples to follow and chose disciples and apostles to spread the message in a quiet, gentle way. That's his first coming. But this, his second coming, is going to be public and in great glory. And he says, great power. And he tells the disciples during that Holy Week, the week before the week that he died, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, raise your heads. And I put, and lifted heads. You lift your heads. Christians, when Jesus comes again, this is going to be a wonderful thing. We will lift our heads because we'll say, I saw the signs and I thought it was happening and my fellow Christians thought it was happening and it's happened and Jesus is here. It's going to be a wonderful time that we do not fear. We do not fear. Jesus says there, because your redemption, your redeeming, your salvation is drawing near. If these times are now or soon, and we are alive during these times, this is not a time for us to be afraid, but to know that Jesus is coming soon, to tell people about him. Whatever difficulty the world is going through, we don't fear it because Jesus is in charge and he's coming again and our redemption is soon. I jumped to a couple verses there, the next last point of part two in the little outline. From verse 33, Jesus' word has more power to teach and comfort than heaven and earth. And I have in the italics there in the notes, stay in and pass on his word. What do I mean by that? Jesus says all these things are happening. And he says, heaven and earth may pass, but my word will not pass away. Do we Christians understand the comfort that he's giving us in that? He's saying there's these great signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and great signs in the waves and the wind and everything going on and the whole world is going to be worried about it. Everybody, Christians and non-Christians alike. It's going to be very noticeable what's going on. And we, Christians, will know and believe our redemption is drawing nigh. Is he almost here because of all these things going on? And then he says, heaven and earth can pass away, but my word will not pass away. Do you see what he's saying, us, telling us to trust in? He's telling us to trust in his word. Because the heavens and the earth as they are now will pass away. But his word will not. So what do we cling to? We cling to his word. Not the heavens and earth that will pass away. That's not our final comfort. Our final comfort is the word of God, which cannot pass away. They're stronger than the heavens and the earth. As these things may happen more and more, and the whole world gets more and more distressed, what then shall Christians do? We stay in the word of God because that is eternal, whereas the heavens and earth are not. And we keep meeting together as much as we can. And we keep celebrating Christmas with the word of God. It's not like our decorations are eternal. They're not. God's going to have even better ones. But all our celebrations and liturgy, etc., and carols point us to the Word of God, which is our foundation, which goes past heaven and earth. And so we continue to gather for God's Word because that will get us through whatever comes our way. And our decorations help focus our minds on the Christmas nativity, the Christmas story of Jesus' birth, the carols celebrate and focus our minds on that word of God. and the different other parts of the seasons of the church year, Lent and Holy Week and all those things we celebrate, they focus our minds on what will stand no matter what we go through in this life. Because Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass, but my word will not pass away. So our energies and our activities focus on that word of God in which we can stand no matter what is going on. So our celebrations and our preparations, when they point us and keep us in the word and bring forwards and centralize the word of God, that is a wonderful, good thing. And it's interesting, too, because as I put that little title at the top, are we preparing for Jesus? Or is Jesus preparing us? In our celebrations, we prepare, we decorated our church and our homes and our communities. But in all this, Jesus is preparing us to stay in his word, to be ready for him. This is a certainty that Jesus comforts us with, that these things are going to happen and we should recognize it and know it and his word will stand. Jesus gave this example, this little parable. You see the fig tree and all other trees, he says, when you see the leaves coming, you know that summer is here. You just know that. That is the way God has ordained things, and that's the way it happens. Some springs you get a lot of rain. Some springs come later, sooner. But when it's summer, those trees have the leaves. So also these signs. He says, when you see these signs, you know the summer. So also when you see these signs of his coming, it's true, it's certain. Just know it's absolutely true. And he warns then in verse 34, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. It was about a half year ago, or maybe a year ago, that word dissipation came up. And I thought, what does that word mean? And maybe you remember that sermon. The word means actually a hangover. Don't be hungover. Don't be in drunkenness. Don't be in the cares of the world. Maybe you don't do that, but you're so involved in the cares of the world that Jesus says, watch out lest the hangovers and the drunkenness or the cares of the world so take up your attention that your attention is not on the word of God, which is eternal. Have your mind and heart on the eternal things, not these things that the world does for a time. Because those things can take your mind off the word of God. So he says, stay awake and pray that you may be ready and that you may stand. Think also on this, the prayers that we have in church and maybe in your private lives and your families. These prayers are part of keeping us, our attention on God's word and his promises. And we bring things to God, our prayer list that are we publish, or maybe other prayers that we're thinking about. We bring these to the eternal God. These are the problems that we're having now. We need your attention, God. This person needs healing. This person needs comforting. Whatever it may be, we bring these to God, our eternal God. Because we are going through things, and we bring these to God, but he's in charge, his word is in charge, and our attention is on God and his word and on Christ. I'm paying attention, God, and please take care of these people. We all want to be ready. We want to be ready. In our culture, we like to at least have a few lights up at Christmas time. Some do a lot, some do a little. Depends on how much time you have. But we like to be prepared. And if our culture knows that, then how much more that we as Christians say, Lord, prepare me. Let me be ready. Let me see what's going on. Let me stay in your word. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you taught your disciples to be ready for the fall of Jerusalem, and you teach your disciples, including us, to be ready for your second coming. Prepare our hearts for this Christmas, but also prepare our hearts for your second coming. Help us to pray for those who need preparation, who aren't prepared. Help us to bring all these needs to you. Dear Lord Jesus, come to our hearts and our lives, continually to prepare us. In your name we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn, Arise, O Christian People, is printed in the bulletin, during which the offering will be brought forwards.
Arise, O Christian people, prepare yourselves today. Prepare to greet the Savior who takes your sins away. To us by grace alone, the truth and life were given, the promised Lord from heaven to all the world is shown. Prepare the way before him, prepare for him the best. Cast out what would offend him, this great, this heavenly guest. Make straight, make plain the way, the lowly valleys raising, the heights of pride abasing, his path.
The congregation is invited to stand for the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For unshamed hope in the Lord's return, that sustained by his Holy Spirit, we may have joy at the advent of Christ our Savior, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who hear the word that the Lord who moved Jesus' disciples to sing his praises as he entered Jerusalem would likewise open our mouths to declare his mighty works, even in the face of opposition and persecution, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who govern, that the Lord who rules with righteousness and justice, steadfast love and faithfulness, would grant the authorities of our land to act justly, so that his people might live in peace as they make known his love and faithfulness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all parents, grandparents, and other caretakers of children, that the raising of children may be full of God's grace and protection. For the health and protection of all pregnant mothers and their children. For God's grace and wisdom and needed resources for all who take care of older relatives. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in need of mercy, the God who establishes our hearts blameless and holy before him, would have mercy on all the afflicted. We remember Margaret and Charlotte, Loretta, Carlin, Shirley, Bill, Jason, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, Denny, Ruby, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Lori and Larry, Jeff, Norbert, Darlene, Pastor Scott and Rebecca and their five sons, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel, that our Almighty God and Father would direct their ways, protect and preserve them from loss and complication, and grant them success in their journey and joy in their homecoming. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
One other person not listed, but we remembered at Thanksgiving, and we remember again, we pray for Fritz and continued healing for him. We pray together, Holy God,
you declared that the days were coming when you would accomplish our salvation, and in your time you caused your Son, the righteous branch, to spring up for David. By your grace, keep us joined as branches to Christ, that we might bear fruit until the day he returns in glory. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. We sing the Kyrie.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Amen.
We sing our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father,
Spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
The congregation is invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
Once he came in blessing, Son of
most holy, bore the cross to save us, hope and freedom gave us. Now he gently of peace here given, manna that will nourish souls that they may flourish. Soon will come that hour when with mighty power Christ will judgment render, with the faithful sharing joy beyond comparing. Come then, Jesus, from our sins release us, keep our hearts believing that we grace receive.